This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely. Positively. FedEx.
Canva.
6 years ago, Nick and I were designing the pitch deck for our media company.
Yeah, we didn't want it to look like some amateur college PowerPoint. We wanted to impress investors. So we made our first pitch deck on Canva.
Canva is the easy-to-use online design platform for presentations, social media posts, physical flyers, anything you can design.
And Canva turns you into a digital Da Vinci, delighting your audience with design.
They got these color palettes that you can use. It makes your work look beautiful.
We used presentation templates that were available for free and then customized them for our company.
And guess what? That summer, we sold that company, Market Snacks, thanks to the deck we built with Canva.
Oh, and funny thing, we still use Canva today for all our design projects.
So Yetis, start designing today at canva.com.
Canva, designed for work. Airbnb.
I hosted on Airbnb 9 years ago for the first time, but I'm doing it again this year because I got a trip to France in the summer and a trip to the tropics over Christmas.
All right, Jack, besides those humble brags, both of those trips, what are you going to do with your place, man? What are you doing with it?
For both of those trips, I'm putting my place on Airbnb.
Because now there's an obvious benefit to hosting on Airbnb. It's financial.
I'm putting the money from my Airbnb revenue towards my plane tickets for both of those flights.
All right, so it's incredible. Instead of your place just sitting empty while you're on vacation, you're going to earn a little extra money while you're away. It's a win-win.
Truly. And setting my schedule as a host on Airbnb is so convenient. Airbnb has easy-to-use features that allow me to update my calendar, so I host exactly when I want to host.
Yeah, it is. If you live somewhere you already have an Airbnb, Airbnb it.
Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Tuesday, November 3rd.
Snackers.
Yep.
Have you voted yet?
Jack, whipping out the old HYHYV.
No, just HYV. Have you voted?
Have you? If the answer is no, by the way, stop the pod, Jack. Stop the pod.
We're going to give you a little time.
Yep.
Grab a number two pencil, grab a black pen, and fill in that oval completely while you visit your polling station.
In the meantime, this happens to be the best podcast we've ever done.
For our first story for this T-boy, Nestle just dropped $1 billion on meal maker startup Freshly.
Jack, can we make Kit Kat meal kits a thing already?
Is Kit Kat Nestle, Nick?
Jack, if there's a cocoa in there, it probably got touched by Nestle.
For our second story, ExxonMobil just had its first ever three-quarter losing streak.
Honestly, this oil giant is due for some relegation. You know what we're talking about.
Somebody's been watching a little Ted Lasso.
Goes out to our European snackers. Third and final story, Jack.
Crocs stock has surged a casual 400% since March.
Early takeaway here, function hates fashion.
Comfy beats cuteness.
We ran out of alliterations.
But snackers, before we hit those three stories, let's take another stroll down Freedom Lane. Remember yesterday, our chat about the U.S. Constitution?
Jack, I remember well. It feels like it was just yesterday.
One peculiar thing about the U.S. Constitution is that power is distributed, not just in D.C.
No, it goes out to each of the 50 states as well. We're talking Albany and Montpelier. They got some power too.
For example, education, the Department of Motor Vehicles, law enforcement, they're all handled by states and local governments.
Well, it turns out that voting was also left to each of the states to decide how they're going to handle it.
We got 50 different states, and we got 50 different state election rules.
From 13 original colonies.
I don't know what that song is. I didn't learn it in school.
If you know, you know in middle school.
But Nick and I are thinking, it's kind of like your favorite drinking game.
Yes.
There's different rule tweaks at every college campus.
For example, you don't drink the cup until the game's over. Or do you drink the cup right away?
At Providence, there's no bounces. At Brown, there's no re-racks.
At Michigan, there are no rebuttals.
At Middlebury College, extra rebuttals.
Nick, I gotta ask, are you planning to take a selfie in the voting booth today?
Jack, it's a great question, because it depends on which state I actually voted in.
That is correct, Mr. Martell. Only 24 states allow selfies in the voting booth in these United States.
That selfie could end you up with a little bit of a voter problem situation legally.
Now, the reason we're bringing this up is today is Election Day, and in Florida, because of hurricanes, Florida has lots of experience with early voting.
Yeah, so as early votes have been coming in, they've been counting those early votes.
So we'll probably know tonight who's going to win Florida because all the votes will be counted.
Meanwhile, up north in Pennsylvania, They don't have as many hurricanes. They don't have as much experience with early voting. It's just not what they do in the Keystone State.
And state election rules in Pennsylvania dictate that those early votes, they can't be opened until today, Election Day. So over in Pennsylvania, they got millions of envelopes that are piling up. They're just about to jump into. Pennsylvania's Secretary of State, he said they have so many envelopes they need to open up and count ballots.
How many do they have, Jack?
Millions, Nick. They probably won't be done counting until Friday in Pennsylvania.
So, Jack, what is the takeaway for our entire electoral process?
This isn't a normal election.
No, Snackers. According to reports, the president actually plans to declare victory if he has a lead, regardless of the number of votes counted.
But that is not how elections work, and that's especially not how this election works.
The election is decided once all the votes are counted.
I'm going to whip things back to 1787 in Philadelphia with our buddy Ben Franklin.
Big fan of the cheesesteak, big fan of democracy.
He said America is a republic if you can keep it.
It's our responsibility to ensure that every vote gets counted to keep that republic.
So Snackers, vote today, have patience with the outcome, and then tell a friend to vote today.
Happy Election Day. Spread your vote.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we got to get something legal out the way. The snacks about the hair ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA /SIPC.
For our first story, Crocs just whipped up its biggest collaboration ever with Mr. Bieber.
The Biebs! And Crocs is a stock winner of the corona economy.
Which means Jack and I, we missed something here. I mean, we have to apologize to Snackers.
I know.
We didn't wish everyone Happy Croctober.
Happy Croctober. That is just good, clean family corporate fun.
You know, the annual harvest of the rubber soles.
This was a Crocs promotion, and it led to a stat that has blown Nick and me away.
Jack and I saw this. We had to stand up, sit back down, and stand up again. We said we're going to do the whole story based on this stat.
Get this. In 2020, this year, overall U.S. footwear sales are down by 20%. But over at Crocs, Crocs sales are up 48% this year. That is called outperformance. That's called leading the pack.
That is a hero stat. Now, Snackers, all this goes back to 2018 when Crocs developed its number one growth strategy.
The art of the exclusive collab.
Like all great collabs, it begins with someone with tattoos. Begin with a rapper named Post Malone. 2018.
Then a country singer named Luke Combs, then Korean star who did Gangnam Style, PSY, then Grateful Dead.
And then the actress Drew Barrymore got involved, and then the poultry icon KFC got involved. They all got Crocs collaborations.
You get a Crocs collab. You get a Crocs collab. You get a Crocs collab.
And the Oprah's the only one who didn't get one, ironically.
But then 3 weeks ago, Crocs kicked things up a notch with their biggest collaboration yet. We're talking the Biebs, Justin Bieber.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, Birkenstock, I'm going with Crocs.
Yellow Crocs, all with the Bieber look. Plus, they came with 6 charms you can remove or trade.
Then last week, Crocs cooked it up another notch. Bad Bunny, a Puerto Rican reggaeton king, his Crocs exclusive collaboration sold out in 16 minutes.
Yeah, because you wear your Biebs Crocs during the day, but then his glow at night, so you'll wear those at night from the bunny.
Now, the average Crocs, and I can speak from experience because I have a pair, they go for about $50. But these exclusive collabs, Nick,
they're big.
They're going for 8 times that on secondary shoe websites.
I feel like this is a good time for your full disclosure, Jack.
I also have Birkenstocks, the 2 ugliest shoes in the market.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Jack and I are looking at this situation over Crocs and we're realizing Crocs caught itself on a micro trend.
Function over fashion. Because I can tell you from experience, Birkenstocks and Crocs, they're like a 10-hour long massage for the soles of your feet.
Jack usually wears those shoes. He's apologizing for wearing them half the time he's wearing them, but he's still wearing them and he's happy.
Now, we call this function over fashion a micro trend because we're not sure it'll live past the pandemic when we have to see people again.
Yeah, electric cars, we'll probably be driving those in 10 years. Wearing Crocs,
yeah. But during the pandemic, the slogan of Crocs, come as you are, it's working really well because it basically says, no one cares how you look, just worry how you feel.
In the meantime, it's working in every part of the world. Over in hospitals, nurses are wearing Crocs because they need washable shoes right now.
Over wherever you live, you need Crocs because you need a porch to potty slip-on option that doesn't require a lace-up.
The old P2P, man. The original P2P. We're looking at you, Venmo.
That's why Crocs just announced a record third quarter. Profits nearly doubled and sales hit a record high.
Oh, by the way, Snackers, look a little further. Crocs stock has quintupled since March. It's up over 400%.
Crocs is the first pure play ugly shoe company on the market.
It is, except for we also got Skechers in there, which means we had a ugly shoe ETF situation, Jack.
Ticker symbol ugly.
Boom, UGLY. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Crocs?
In the fashion industry right now, every trend that wasn't cool has become cool.
Yeah, Snaggers, Jack and I have noticed that the fashion industry is going through a bit of an anti-fashion movement specifically because of COVID.
Fashion used to beat function.
Yep, now Crocs is showing us it doesn't beat function. Function is beating fashion.
Secondhand has become like the coolest thing there is.
Yeah, secondhand startups like ThredUp or IPOing, the RealReal already publicly traded, and it's a secondhand stock.
And Levi's just launched their own secondhand site.
True. And then third and final fashion trend that's been turned on its head, Jack,
nostalgia. Nostalgia's new again.
It's new again. Look at Nike. Their Air Force One is the most purchased shoe of 2020.
The mega trend for fashion stocks right now?
Anything anti-fashion. For our second story, ExxonMobil just notched its third straight loss for the first time ever. Bad hat trick.
Exxon stock is getting sent down to the minors.
Yeah, it is. Jack, to quote our buddies over at The Karate Kid, Exxon, X off.
That's actually quoting the sensei of The Karate Kid.
Good correction. But we're going to have to travel back nearly a century to 1928 to really tell the story of ExxonMobil.
Standard Oil Company was owned by John D. Rockefeller, the world's first billionaire with a B.
All right, now we're going to fast forward 100 years. They did a bunch of split ups. The monopoly got broken apart. Then you got Exxon and Mobil, who end up merging, ipso facto, ExxonMobil, the company.
That's right. Go way up ExxonMobil's family tree and you get John D. Rockefeller, the world's first human unicorn.
You would love that image. Now, profit puppies when it comes to ExxonMobil, just one. That's all they need.
Just one. Oil.
Yep.
That was it.
And then they happen to own every single part of the value chain related to oil.
They extracted oil and gas from the earth. They refined it and then they sold it. They even had a retail like chain across the country.
Yeah, it doesn't stop at selling the gas. They're also selling you all the snacks, right, Jack?
You get a free coffee with every 10-gallon fill-up at participating ExxonMobil stations.
Boom, ka-ching, that's how they roll.
And they just announced to ExxonMobil third quarter earnings, or lack thereof.
Oh, that one's going to hurt, Jack. Now, that's because ExxonMobil lost $680 million in the last 3 months compared to, get this, a $3 billion profit last year.
It's also unfortunately cutting 14,000 jobs because business isn't good. That's 15% of their global workforce.
So you're looking at ExxonMobil. It seems like it's kind of fallen from grace, which makes us think we kind of wish all stocks were European soccer.
If they were, Exxon would be due for relegation.
There also would be a lot of people running around painting their bodies on the New York Stock Exchange, which may be a good thing.
There should be stock hooligans.
There should be stock hooligans. I think there are stock hooligans.
There are stock hooligans. Snackers, in 2013, ExxonMobil, for perspective, was the most valuable company in the world.
AKA on the S&P 500, the scoreboard of America's most valuable public companies.
Now, since then, ExxonMobil has stubbornly clung to fossil fuels despite society moving in a different direction.
Yeah, they're doing next to nothing to transition to clean energy, unlike some of their peers in the oil and gas industry are.
The cleanest thing Exxon does is those squeegees to let you clean your windshield at the gas station.
Those aren't totally clean. They're not totally clean over there.
And it's also dropped way down the scoreboard of biggest, most valuable companies in the world.
Yeah, ExxonMobil has dropped from the number one most valuable company in the S&P 500 in 2013 to number 43 as of yesterday.
Also, ExxonMobil used to be the answer to some of Nick's my favorite finance trivia questions.
Oh my God, call it a Saturday night because this is what we whip up in front of the fire. Jack, what are the only four companies with AAA credit ratings?
Used to be ExxonMobil.
Jack, what company's been on the Dow Jones Industrial Average the longest?
Used to be ExxonMobil.
Jack, what is the only gas station chain that named their store
after an animal. Still ExxonMobil?
What are they? Tiger Mart. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at ExxonMobil?
The economy used to run on oil.
Yep.
Now it runs on the cloud.
Snackers extracting oil and then refining it to gasoline. That is hard.
You got oil rigs. You got a bunch of danger. You might be in the middle of the ocean. There are wolves, Nick.
Yes.
There are wolves trying to like eat the workers.
Plenty of wolf sightings.
And it's really hard to clean off yourself if you get some oil on your suit.
Have you seen those Lysol ads with the duck? They have like six people working on a single duck.
But ExxonMobil's business was also extraordinarily simple if you think about it.
Here's how it went down. As the economy grows, fuel it with more fuel.
Fuel it with fuel. But today,
yep.
The economy doesn't need oil as much as it used to. It's moved to a digital diet.
Completely different diet. And that diet is cloud computing. That's replaced oil as the most valuable commodity to grow an economy.
Amazon Web Services, not petroleum, is what powers growth of the economy today.
Gig and bytes, not gasoline and barrels.
That's why Apple, Google, Amazon, and Microsoft have taken Exxon's throne as the most valuable companies in the S&P 500.
Because the cloud has taken oil's place as the most valuable commodity.
America runs on, not Dunkin' Donuts, the cloud.
Sorry, Darlene!
For our third and final story, Nestle just acquired Healthy Meal startup Freshly for about $1 billion. And then it promptly ruled out the biggest potential benefit of this acquisition.
It totally did. Now, the Swiss food giant Nestle, its stock is publicly traded, by the way. Jack and I noticed it's got a thing for prefixes.
Hot Pockets.
Yep.
San Pellegrino.
Check.
And anything that begins with a Ness.
Jack, I'm looking. I got Nespresso, Nestea, Nescafe. Am I forgetting one? What else we got here?
I don't know, but it's got a prefix and it's got a suffix.
Nesquik, baby. That was it. Okay.
The news from Friday. Nestle is acquiring Freshly, a meal kit company that thinks Blue Apron is too much work.
Yeah, Freshly, it's based in New York City. It's perfect for when the line at Zabar's or Fairway is just too long on a Sunday night.
Imagine a Blue Apron meal kit. We've all got the free samples and they quit before the subscription starts. You have to mix in coriander with soy sauce. You got to sear it twice and then like bake it three times and then maybe eventually you can eat.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not done the meal yet. I have to channel my inner Bobby Flay.
Freshly's meals, on the other hand, require barely any prep.
Ravioli, microwave, toss in a pan, eat cold or hot, done.
The most you're going to have to do is like drizzle on some walnuts.
In the meantime, snackers, Jack and I jumped in snack style, got a sense of Freshly's numbers, and they're shipping out 1 million meals a week, expecting $430 million in sales this year.
Now, our first thought with this acquisition, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Instead of Freshly having to pay top dollar for its ingredients, Freshly can use Nestle's ingredients instead.
Boom, Freshly would vertically integrate its meal kit supply chain with Nestle's, reducing costs, increasing profits, everyone's happy.
Basically going to pull a John D. Rockefeller and verticalize this whole thing.
Jack, we found ourselves the ExxonMobil of meal food things.
Wrong. In a press release, Freshly came out straight out and they're like, our meals will not be changing, actually.
Yeah, get this line from them. No plans to change ingredients or integrate Nestle's products into Freshly meals. Sounds like Nestle's like offended by Freshly.
Yeah, they're like going out of their way to say they had no relationship with Jonah Ryan.
We're not with them. That's a total Page Six thing. We have no idea what they're talking about.
Now, for an acquisition to be successful, there must be synergies in that acquisition.
Oh, the S word, synergies. You got to see them.
Basically, why is Freshly more profitable as part of Nestle than it is standalone? If it's not more profitable as part of Nestle, you shouldn't do this acquisition.
So Jack and I are looking for synergies. And the first place we look is to, does this deal cut costs?
No. The press release flat out ruled out that possibility.
All right, so costs are out, so Jack and I keep searching. Is the synergy potentially in optimizing revenues?
Maybe. Freshly said it'll triple the number of menu items thanks to this acquisition from Nestle.
Well, Nestle then will have to pay for that menu expansion since they're buying Freshly.
And there's no sign they're going to be sticking in Nestle's Kit Kat bars in with the Freshly garlic butter baked salmon.
No, so it's still not clear to us how this boosts profits over at Freshly.
We're still trying to figure it out.
So Jack and I then decided to go to the takeaway. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Nestle?
We think this is a learnquisition.
Snackers, some people read books to learn. Some people listen to podcasts and others buy entire companies.
Case in point, Walmart.
Check.
It went on a buying spree starting in 2016 of entire companies.
Jet.com, Bonobos, ModCloth, all acquired by Walmart.
If you're venture-backed, tech-focused, direct-to-consumer, and only use lowercase font in your logo,
yes,
Walmart was interested.
Oh, yes, it's interested. And after a few years, though, Walmart ended up killing off Jet.com.
And Bonobos, the other, you know, the men's khaki company it acquired, it's not thriving right now.
Yeah, you said it like you don't know Bonobos.
Yeah, guilty. I know.
Now, Snackers, with each of those acquisitions, Walmart learned all of Jet and Bonobos' e-commerce tricks and then kind of moved on.
And years later, it's now putting that learning to action on Walmart.com with great e-commerce and curbside pickup, which has been highly lauded during the pandemic.
So everything modern about Walmart today, you can trace back to those acquisitions half a decade ago.
So we think Nestle's executives, they're going to read every single page of the Freshly Meal Kit textbook.
And then they're going to apply its learnings to the rest of the Nestle food empire.
Without ever putting Nestle's products inside a single Freshly dish.
Probably. That's what we think.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us over there?
Crocs is winning because cuteness comes second to comfort during the pandemic.
It's one of the many anti-fashion trends of fashion right now.
For a second story, ExxonMobil stock is due for relegation stat.
The economy runs on the cloud, not on oil anymore.
For our third and final story, Nestle has acquired Freshly, even though Freshly seems to want nothing to do with Nestle's products.
So Nestle's just hungry for a learnquisition.
Classic
Nestle.
Now time for our snack fact of the day. This one sent in by Hannah over in lovely Beirut, Lebanon.
All right. Way back in 1758, when George Washington was running for the House of Burgess.
Yes.
In the colony of Virginia.
Yes, he was. He had himself a budget, didn't he, Jack?
He had himself a campaign budget, most of which he spent on booze to solicit votes from potential voters.
It wasn't uncommon for elections during that time period, but they still went kind of hard.
They procured 160 gallons of alcohol and handed it out for free to the 391 voters in the county.
Jack, the results please, the envelope.
Unsurprisingly, George Washington won with more than 39% of the vote.
We'll leave it at that. Snackers,
don't HYHYSD today. Instead,
no.
VOTE.
Stand in line, call a friend, tell them to get out there with you and spread your vote.
Happy Democracy Day. We'll see you tomorrow.
We can't wait.
This is Jack. I own stock of Amazon and Levi's, and Nick owns stock of Apple.
The Robin Hood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robin Hood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robin Hood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Nick and Jack here. Want to quickly tell you about the show Business Wars.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman.
From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world.
Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more, Wondery means business.